Dell. Amitri, you're in the mix.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we have a guest here.
Still.
A special guest. Yeah, we haven't chased him off yet. We've been working at it, but he's hanging in there.
So. Yeah, he is. Parker McClellan from the Northwest Florida Beaches International Airport.
There you go.
All right.
You did it, finally.
It only took me three breaks, but I finally said
you
the name. Right. Anyway, we're talking about growth at the airport and some exciting projects you've got going on. You've got more and more people coming through the door. You've added a new TSA line. You're going to get a roundabout, and there's, you're going to get a better flow of people there with the new roads. But where can we get now that we couldn't get before more conveniently?
So in the summer, we have a great number of choices. Last year we added Denver. This year we added Kansas City.
Okay.
Kansas City has been really, the airplane's gone out and come in every day, every weekend full.
Wow.
And we do a little welcome on the day that the airplanes arrive for the first time. We'll do what's a water cannon salute. So we take our fire trucks and you spray a stream of water and kind of a welcome to everybody. So interestingly enough, when I get on the airplane, make an announcement. On the airplane that left, it was full, and I made the announcement, and everybody started clapping, saying, "We needed this, we need this." And I said, "Well, then keep calling Southwest, because that's who's flying that service. Call them, because they're the ones that'll make the decision again for next year." So we're doing that, but the real exciting part is in January, we'll begin nonstop service to to Reagan Airport in Washington, D.C.
Very nice.
So American has become a great partner with the airport. They've come in with service to Charlotte and to Dallas, to DFW, Chicago, and now to Washington, D.C. So they were a little slow to get up and running, but they're here. They got here last June, so they've been here just about a little over a year, and they've made a difference.
So that's a new airline, too.
That's a new airline.
We already had Delta and Southwest.
Delta and Southwest both came with the startup of the airport.
Right.
Southwest brought their 737s. Delta, in turn, made us the first mainline station in the Panhandle, which meant the Delta jets. And then in 2015, we added United Airlines.
All right.
And now we've added American. So we have all four legacy carriers.
Congratulations.
And we continue to talk to other airlines about enhancing the service, going to cities that are not served with direct flights by our present partners. So we just continue to look at that.
Does it make it easier in your negotiations with those as your traffic continues to grow at that airport? Is that part of the deal? How do you demonstrate, say you want to restart the service to Orlando, how would you go about that? I mean,
well, Orlando is one of those that our board members hear every day. We hear it every day. We need to go south is what everybody tells me. And we understand that, but it has to be a business deal that works for the airlines. We don't just call them and say, "Hey, we want you to go to Orlando or Tampa or Fort Lauderdale or Miami, or pick your city down south." It's one of those that you have to kind of, it's a long process. I like to use the American Airlines as the example. I started talking to them 5 years ago now. It took 4 years for them to make that decision to come to this community. And since then, they've realized that was a good decision. Southwest continues to find different cities that they can give a summer service to. United has added Chicago. And Delta is a great partner for our community. They've been here for a long time. And, they look at what kind of airplanes are they bringing in. We have more seats coming in. And that's all part of the process. But the success and people traveling to and from our community is what gets people to, as I refer to it, as butts in seats.
Yeah, what's the near term outlook on your airport? I know that you guys have been talking about that you need to increase your capacity out there at the airport. Now, what's your time frame on some of that stuff?
Well, we're in the middle of a master plan process. A master plan is a 20-year planning guidebook that we develop, and we're approaching that phase, and we'll be briefing the board tomorrow on what where we are in the process. So we have the inventory completed, the forecast is done. So now we're going to be going out and doing community, getting some community input as to what the community thinks we need in the future in terms of facilities and things like that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, everybody wants different air service and they want to fly to Knoxville, Tennessee, not nonstop, but mm-hmm. you got to have enough people to do that every day to do it
sure.
nonstop.
Yeah. But is there it sounds like you're serving all those people. It sounds like you keep serving more and more new routes. Is there a lack? I mean, is there anywhere you're not going that there's, I mean, it sounds like as soon as there's a demand for it, you're getting it filled by one of these carriers.
There are cities that have connecting service.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do is enhance that to be nonstop or direct service. So there's a difference between nonstop or direct. So
sure.
nonstop means you go from point A to point B
mm-hmm.
without stopping. A direct flight means you go from point A to point B to C on the
okay.
same airplane,
yeah.
but you don't have to get off.
Right. What about discount carriers? I know some people go to maybe a nearby airport because they got a really cheap flight. Sometimes you pay for it in gas and it's kind of 2 1/2 dozen. Are you bringing any discount carriers here?
So we are talking to what are called ultra low cost carriers.
Yeah.
We've had discussions with them about serving our community. The challenge is making sure that we don't lose the partnerships or deteriorate from the partnerships that we have today.
Sure.
And so how do you find that market that fits so that we can grow our region and grow the air service at the same time without robbing from Peter to pay Paul? So we're working on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what we found is, yes, there is an airport close by that has a discount carrier. But what we found is they've had growth and then we have similar growth. We've maintained our market share of about 21% since the airport opened. So 20%, 21% mm-hmm. of the people flying into the Panhandle when you compare Tallahassee, VPS, and Pensacola. And Panama City, when you compare those four, we're maintaining that 21% market, even with the growth of that carrier to the west, I'm sorry.
Right. So, yeah, it almost doesn't matter. There's so many people ready to travel.
Yeah, we obviously we'd like to get a low-cost carrier to see if we couldn't get our fares down.
Mm-hmm.
But frequency equals fares, so the more people that are flying, even on the existing carriers, we see that in the summer the fares come down a little bit, so
yeah.
that's because of frequency.
Good. Okay. So fly more.
Fly
yes. more, Bay County.
go out there and visit your airport. If you haven't, and I bet a lot of people haven't even seen it. It's an impressive-looking installation out there. It really is. I first flew into Panama City that was kind of a little concrete block building. I don't know if you've ever seen, have you, Parker, seen pictures of the original PFN building?
I have. We have a history hall up in our offices
okay.
that has
yeah, and
fan and field. And
yeah, we used to go up on top of this little concrete block building. There was a little chain link fence around part of the roof, and you could stand up there and watch the planes land.
I've got a picture of that. There's a picture of that on our wall, as a matter of
wow.
fact.
Wow, yeah. I can remember doing that. It was just, if you were picking somebody up at an evening flight, it was kind of pleasant up there, and you could, most of it was general aviation, but you'd watch the little planes come in and land, and then you knew your plane was coming in when the little plane stopped landing because they were getting out of the way because here comes the big one. It was a very homey little airport.
Well, we've tried to keep that small town mm-hmm. feel to what we have today, mm-hmm. Being friendly and mm-hmm. because that makes a difference. We're the first thing that people see when they land in our community, in our region. We're also the last thing that many of them see. And mm-hmm. you know, not every experience is going to be perfect. We can't help that a plane breaks or that mm-hmm. the weather changes things, but we try to be out and about.
It certainly is a friendly airport to go to. The parking's close by. You've got shuttles out there. If you've got a lot of baggage, some nice person in a shuttle will come and pick you up and take you over to the airport, drop you off in front of your airline. So it's a very friendly place. It's easy to get around in. You don't get lost. It's well labeled. And now you have a second TSA line, so there's not a whole lot mm-hmm. of waiting in to get checked through TSA.
As we've discovered over the, you know, that started probably in the middle of June
mm-hmm.
and has made significant differences in our wait lines,
mm-hmm.
but still in the season, we want everybody there an hour and a half to 2 hours early.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't want to take that chance that you don't get on your airplane.
I've never had it happen in your airplane at your airport, but some of the other airports, and there's some of them, well, there's one around a certain based around a certain cartoon character down there, when they designed the airport, TSA didn't exist, and if you have to come in from one terminal and go out another terminal, you have to go outside of security and back through it again.
Oh, no.
I'm very familiar with that airport.
I bet you are. That was, I was actually chatting with a TSA agent. He said, I wish they hadn't done this. We do a third more work here than we have to because there's no way to get from one terminal to the other without going outside of the secure area and back in again.
Well, I can tell you from my experience, mm-hmm. since I spent a lot of time there working,
mm-hmm.
We worked very hard to make sure that you didn't have a lot of passengers that had that need.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that they're probably still doing that.
I hope so. But I've an unfortunate series of events when one flies back through there on Alaska Airlines from Seattle and then has to go to, then going from there to Atlanta and back to Panama City every time that happened to me. It may be cured now. I haven't done that for about 5 years, but
clearly you're not over it. You haven't let it go, Tom.
Well, no, you're already at the end of a long journey at that point, and it's just like, oh no, I have to go stand in line again.
Well, Tom, we're gonna see if you can let it go for a moment while we take a quick break.
Oh, it's that time again.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we'll come back for our vitamin B.
Okay. All excellent. Right.